for I'm not a series preacher. I'm not one of those preachers who preach a series and plans months and months and months and months in advance, the series, and have a calendar of the series and put out banners in front of the church. What we're going to talk about, I move as the Spirit moves, and I'm led as the Spirit so leads. Maybe also I ain't got enough time to be. Adding all that out. So if I ever preach a series around here, it's just because I done stumbled on it. Amen. It ain't been planned out. So I think I have stumbled on something here. And I want to stay in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 this Sunday and next Sunday. Amen. And little concern right about now because y'all a little dead right now. It's a little cemetery posture in here. But that song there. Used to take the roof off this house. And I know it's just our third Sunday. I'm going to two services and things got to shake themselves out. And this is the Sunday school crowd. But y'all been with Jesus the longest. I just thought. So I ain't expecting them at the 11 o'clock, them young folk, you know, they like to praise and worship. They lean with it and they rock with it. But they don't say nothing when I preach. That's the style. But y'all should know what I'm about to be talking about. Amen. And y'all should have a little history with Jesus. I was going to have y'all touch a neighbor, but y'all get offended when people touch y'all silk. So I ain't going to do that. But just put in the atmosphere. They were singing about Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I hear that word, when I hear just the name Jesus, something just, I don't understand that you can hear Jesus and hear all about Jesus and keep standing at the wall and watch the paint dry. You've just been too good. Sorry, choir, they'll do better next time. Mark 2:5-11. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they saw reason within themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know, that the Son of Man hath power. Somebody say power. Somebody say power. Don't touch them, but slap them neighbor and say, power. Oh, y'all. That'll get them. Have power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. I say unto thee, arise. And take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. I want to talk on this third watch of this series that we stumble upon as we look at Mark chapter 2. I want to talk from the subject this morning. Go back where you came from. Go back where you came from. Jesus told the man, go back to thine own house. Go back where he came from. You remember this from last year. If you watch CNN, at least for USA Today once a week, you remember that the temporary inhabitant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and I wish we could get some moving two men in a truck to go up there next week, but I don't know how you take an oath of office to be impartial when you done already lied and said that you ain't going to be impartial. How you take an oath to promise God you're going to be impartial when you already done said we're going to find him not guilty? Y'all get that when you get home. But last year, the temporary inhabitant, because he is going to be temporary, I don't know if it's going to happen this month, next month, or hopefully January 2021. But then temporary inhabitant told these four ladies of ethnic background, two of them non-Christian, but all of them of ethnic background, that they essentially needed to go back where they came from. They were stirring up trouble in this good Anglo-Saxon American country that was founded by God on a city upon a hill. The only thing in God we trust is that of our money. Because if you really trust God, you know that his son was an immigrant as well. He had to move several times to different countries for his own freedom and to save his own life. But if you ain't been to Vacation Bible School or Sunday School and you call it 2 Corinthians, you don't know nothing about God, most likely. Anyhow. So 2 Corinthians told him to go back where it came from. For those of us who are of African descent, of course, it sounded like go back to Africa. And as a historian, as a theologian, just as a human, I've always been shook when they told us in the 1900s to go back where you came from. I told y'all, they tell me to go back where I came from. I got to go back to Baptist Hospital, 1330. Taylor Street. That's where I came from. I have not visited the continent of Africa. I want to go visit, but Africa is the homeland, but it's not my home. Matter of fact, this ain't my home either. My home is on the other side of the river. But Jesus tells this man after healing him, go back home. For those of you, this is your first Sunday in church all year, let me catch you up. We know that Capernaum is the city where Jesus lived the last 3 years of his life. We know that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was raised and reared as a child in Nazareth. But when he moved out of his mama's house, he found residency in Capernaum. As I journeyed in Israel a couple years ago, and those of us who will make that sojourn this October, you will learn that Capernaum is called now the City of Jesus. Because it was the center of his ministry outpost in the last 3 years of his life. Until going to Israel, I'd always thought that those healings in Capernaum and that medical clinic that he opened up in Capernaum, Dr. Parker, was just that he was just passing through, like many occasions. He just had to be at that wedding in Cana. He just happened to be around the lepers. He just happened to be at Jacob's well because he was always moving, always going from where he's coming and coming from where he's going. So I thought he was just passing through Capernaum until I realized that's where he lived. And most likely that medical clinic that he opened up without a license, no DHEC certificate, it was either his house or another relative's house because that's where he lived. That was his home. That's where he took residence. And I would raise the question, is this church where you take up residence? Is this your home? Is this where we can find you? If we need to find you on a Sunday morning, or are you just passing? Mm-hmm. And so we know that he had healing in his hands, and that the king bedded to be known throughout the land, throughout the region, that not only can he take 2 sardines and 5 hush puppies and create a seafood buffet in the hills of Hermon. Not only can he take water, 2 oxygens of hydrogen, 1 oxygen of oxygen, and compose it and make it into wine. Not the cider y'all going to get on Valentine's Day at the banquet and conference center, but real stuff. Not only could he take a man who had a withered hand and have that man stretch out his hand, and the hand began to create new bones and new skin and there was strength before it was born. Amen. Well, not only could he do all that, but he had healing all over him. And so the Bible says that everybody that was sick came to see Jesus. in this house in Capernaum. Everyone who had cancer, everyone who had diabetes, everyone who had blood pressure, everyone who had psychosis. Have I called yours yet? Because all of us bipolar, and all of us personality, all of us need to be on medicine. All of us need a therapist besides Jesus. You just ain't come to terms with yours yet. All of us, every now and then, need to go see the doctor. And so all of them came to the doctor's office, Dr. Parker, without an appointment. Because Jesus does take walk-ins. Y'all can pay me for that one later. I wouldn't know where I am. That's why I don't preach with no notes, no manuscripts. You don't know what's going to happen. All of us can walk on up to Jesus' office. Sign the Lord's law, what time you get in and who you want to see. Ain't but one doctor, his name is Jesus. Amen. And what I like about him, he ain't going to be like Dr. Parker. He ain't going to ask for no copay and won't know if your insurance has changed. You ain't got to fill out 24. You ain't got to tell who your social security number is, who your doctor is, who you other been seeing, all your medications. He ain't worried about none of that. Everything been paid in full. You don't need insurance with him. You need assurance with him. I said you don't need insurance with him. You need assurance. You need blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Oh, you done saying it. And so all these men and women come to see the doctor. And the Bible says that there was this man, a paralytic, who was on a bed of four. Obviously, he was paralyzed that he could not even walk. So four men, because the bed had four corners, carry him to see Jesus. And I've always assumed that the reason why they went up on the roof, Calvin, was because they're black folk, and black folk don't like to wait in line. And, you know, we'll hop the fence on you now. You know, we'll switch numbers with you at the DMV when you ain't looking. But I discovered that, CJ, the reason why they went to that bed on the roof is because the bed couldn't get in the door. Jesus wants to know sometimes how bad do you want it. When one door is closed in your life, when one person tried to block your blessings, do you have faith enough to go around the devil's detours and get to where God needs you to be? Are you willing to take the roof off if that means getting to Jesus? Are you willing to fast and pray? The Bible says that they took the roof off, and Jesus, again, was not moved by the roof coming off Monica. He wasn't moved by them tearing up his house, because he realized if he built the first house, he can build it again. And whatever God has built in your life, even if someone tried to destroy it, if someone tried to take it away, whatever has been built in your life, God can rebuild. And you don't have to have no architect. You don't have to have no general contractor. You don't have to beat it out. Whatever's going on in your life, he can rebuild it. The Bible says he saw their faith. They saw their faith, their belief in him. If we just get the man to Jesus, Jesus is going to make everything all right. I have raised the query and I raised it again the third time. How many people have you brought to Jesus? How many people have you invited to your house when you received that great spirit? How many people have you helped along their route to salvation? How many people have you taken the roof off just to get them to see Jesus? I've always said that, you know, besides God looking at your heart, you need to see if you help someone get to Jesus at the rapture. It's just not my responsibility. Not just Erica's responsibilities. Just not the deacon's responsibility. All of us are the priesthood of all believers. Amen. We are a royal priesthood. Each one of us has to lead somebody else to come meet Jesus for themselves. It's not just about what God can do for you today. Not about just your personal blessing. Not about God putting you in a house on a hill. Like all of us can have a mansion with our names on it. He sees their faith. The man becomes whole. Then he says, go back home. Watch the simplicity of the Savior. He sees their faith. He heals the man. He says, go back home. Don't miss your shout. He sees their faith. He heals the man. He says, go back home. Be quiet over here. He sees their faith. He heals the man. He says, go back home. I know who got my back.
this text teaches us is recuperation. Somebody say recuperation. I know it's a big SAT word. Polysyllabic. Recuperation. It's very simple. After you leave outpatient surgery, you got to go home. You don't leave outpatient surgery, Nene, and go back to work. It's very simple. You know, we made it so hard. You know, you got to speak in tongues. You got to roll around. You got to run around. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to have all these gifts. It's real simple. You have outpatient surgery. Go home and rest. Outpatient surgery. The man went in the hospital alone. The man wasn't in convalescent, no convalescent center. He went in the house cell. He had outpatient surgery. Not only did he have outpatient surgery, he had out the hospital surgery. Jesus don't even need you at the hospital to heal you. Jesus don't even need you in no better clinic to heal you. He can heal you right now, right where you are, if you just believe. And after he has healed you, he says, get you some rest. Because you know something? I also know why he wanted that man to go back home quick and get him some rest, because other people make you sick. The man was sick. He got home, but he said, you need to get around quick, away from other people quickly, because they're going to make you sick once they know you've been healed and once you've been delivered, because everybody can't handle your blessings. You cannot unfortunately share your blessings with everybody, because everybody ain't happy that you blessed. God has given you two buttons on that phone, a blue, a green one, and a red one. A green one and a red one, because some people you just don't need to talk to. Having a great day, having a wonderful day, everything going well, ain't no traffic. Kids in school, ain't no traffic. Take 10 minutes off your commute. Y'all need to let them out more, Monica. Just takes 10 minutes off my commute. Ain't no school buses. Ain't nobody crossing guards, holding stuff up. Don't he know we coming? I know the kids got to cross, but I got to get to work. My brothers and my sisters, there's no shame in resting. There's no shame in resting. You know me. I take some naps every day. And it's medical research that says that people who take naps live long. I'm going to be here forever. I take a naps every day. Because when I get off work, I got more work to do. All right? There's nothing wrong with taking you some time for yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to talk about my house, because I'm just not allowed to talk about my house. I'm just not getting in trouble every time I talk about my house. So my roommate was in the living room the other day with the lights off. And I'm wondering myself, oh, Lord, what I done did. Kids were asleep and they were in the room, in the living room with the lights off. And I said, you okay? Because I really asked him, how okay? You know, anytime your wife asks you, are you okay? They really want to know, are they okay? And she said, I just need some time to myself. Deuces. All right, you need time. I know he said that the two shall become one, but you still need to let that one have some time to be one. You're still an individual person, and you need time to recuperate. You need time to rest for yourself. Even if you got to go away, just spend some time to yourself. You got to have trust in your relationship, number one. Now, if we don't trust you, you ain't going nowhere. Can't go to your mama's. Well, I'm going to call at 905 to make sure you made it. But you got to take some time to yourself. Second of all, I want you to see in this text this removal. This is recuperation, but I want you to see this removal. Before the haters come, Jesus said, go. Because he realizes, Kevin, everybody ain't happy with your promotion. And everybody working with you right now, who used to be there forever and ever, they ain't happy you're not a new boss. And some people are going to have to be, Monica, removed. He gets the man out of the way. He gets the man away from the haters, because they know he knows that the haters are going to come with questions. How you got healed? job, how you got this promotion, how you got this house with your credit score, how you got this car with no cosigner. People want to know all the time how. And in this text, they want to know because that's why he says your sins are forgiven. Because in this text, in time, in culture, CJ, you know that people want to know what you did wrong that got you in that bad situation. That if you had some medical malady, if you had something wrong in your life, if you were deformed, if you were transgender, somebody had sinned. And so they were always wondering, even asking Jesus, I think that about Luke 18, the man who was blind since birth, and Jesus here, he said, which one sinned, his mama or his daddy? Ain't nobody had to do no sinning to have a problem in your life. Because we're all sinners. Just imagine if you got something, oh Lord, we all be in here crippled. Think about it. Everybody be in the wheelchair in here. Nobody won't be honest. And so Jesus stopped them in their tracks even before they can raise the query. That's why you got to have discernment. He knows they're coming with the questions about how, but when God has blessed somebody, we don't need to ask how. We just need to think who did it. And he removes the God because he understands here come the haters and everybody ain't going to be happy that you're blessed. You got to sometimes remove some people. We talk about it all the time, but you pick them back up. It becomes a cliche. Very cliche. If you got to move some people out of your life, but you pick them back up. You invite them back to the cookout. You're still friends with them on Facebook, and every time you see their picture, you get mad. Why are they still your friend? You know, when you block somebody on Facebook, they don't get no text to say you've been blocked by pastor. I blocked a whole lot of y'all. I don't need to see all that stuff. And y'all really don't need me to see all that stuff. Because I have you at the altar. Some people got to be, seriously, y'all, when Christian love and with humbleness removed from your life because they're no good in your life. And I know that ain't, I might be preaching to the choir right now based on your response because you got everything going on in your life, but you keep on living. Keep on living because as better you do, the greater you become, the more haters you're going to have in your life. And if you don't have any haters in your life, maybe you ain't doing nothing good. And he says, go! Get out of here! Because there are people coming to hate on you. Here you are blessed. Here you are just finally got a real little pep in your step. Here you ready to cut a move. Here you ready to dance and have a party. And here come Patty Patty. Worried about how you got your blessings. And it don't really matter how you got your blessings. Because again, this ain't no cliche. If God has blessed your neighbor, that means he's in the neighborhood. And you got to believe and be so happy. You know, like, we don't do this no more. Like, if someone moving your neighborhood, we don't take them Bojangles and the cake no more. We won't know who they are. We don't research Richland County taxes. We don't Google them. I can't see no job. You should never ever be jealous or envious of anybody ever in your life. I praise God. I ain't got a jealous bone in my body. Because I realize that all blessings come from God. And if God has blessed my neighbor with something, that's what God wanted my neighbor to have. And God got more. Everything you got on your body, they got another one. Every shoe you got on, they made more and in different sizes. Not just in your size. And even if you got something custom, they can make it again. Because somebody's going to see him and go to the man and say, can you make that again? And he's going to say, for the right amount of money, I can. And you think you're the only one that got it. And then when you die, somebody else is going to be wearing it too. And drinking it. You don't own nothing in this life. And so why are you jealous? Why are you upset when someone else is blessed? When you know there's a blessing with your name on it, come in your way. And anybody who can't celebrate your blessings in your life, got to get out your life. Now that's for real, for real. If they can't celebrate with you, if they can't praise God with you, they do not need to be in your life. Take them out your context right now. Go ahead, right now. Go ahead, take them out right now. Take them out right now. They don't need to see the reciprocity. I knew there'd be some educators today, so I brought these big words, like elephant and hippopotamus and rhinos. Big words. I want you to see the reciprocity. God does something, and he expects the man to do something. God does something, and he expects the man to do something. God does something, then he expects the man to do something. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. That's called reciprocity. There's a tit for tat. That in for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. God heals the man, and then he says, go home. The first place that you need to share your story with and your blessings with are the people in your house. You know, if Cynthia can't affirm my Christian experience, then that's a problem. If my two children never give their lives to Christ and get baptized, that's a problem. And that's my fault. My Christian experience and my Christian heritage and my faith has to manifest itself in my house. My joy for Jesus, my love of God has to manifest itself first in my house. I told you about that time when my roommate was not feeling well and my little five-year-old boy went and laid hands on her and prayed for his mama because he's seen his daddy do it. Amen? I mean, that song before we started, before I turned to Kids Bop. Before we start with Kids Bop in the morning, they're going to listen to some gospel first on the way to school because it begins at home. And that's why Jesus says, first, before you go to the market, before you go to Publix and get your chicken, before you go anywhere, it's got to begin in your home and at your house. And so I raise the query again, what is the spiritual climate in your home, even if you live by yourself? Does the couch know you saved? Does Netflix know you holy? Hey, you take a Cinemax, y'all remember Cinemax? In your BC days. Somebody having a flashback right now. HBO was for family, but not Cinemax. You still subscribing to it? Is your internet holy? Is your cabinet the top shelf? Tell your cabinet. Somebody looking, what do you mean by that? Tell your neighbor what I'm talking about. I'm going to let y'all out 5 minutes early so you can tell people outside what I'm talking about. How holy is your cabinet? I mean, do you do communion on just first Sunday or second, third, fourth, and fifth? Your holiness go? Does it just stop at the place where you got that blessing? I know you shouted all over the Mercedes dealership. I know you shouted all over Lex. I know you shouted all over the Turner's office when you signed your name on that mortgage. I know you put it all on Facebook and tweeted out to everybody and your mom. You had the little party at the house, invite everybody over, invite the preacher to bless the house, but sooner they left. How holy is your house? What type of praise do you have at your house? That's why Jesus says, after you get your healing, after you get your blessing, make sure everybody in your house knows that I'm the one with you. That's why this house has got to change. Because Jesus is doing some miracles right now in this house. And that's what I like about it. He takes this band to take up your bed and walk. We're going to deal with that next Sunday, but he says, take up your bed and walk. He knew that in one text and that other time with the man who had been by the pool of Bethesda, this happens on the Sabbath. And I don't know if Mark and them would mix them up the same thing, but if it happened on the Sabbath, he's not allowed to carry his bed on his back. And so we'll deal with that next Sunday. But here in Mark, he says, take up your bed and walk. Now, let me say now, he says that thing. He tells the man that again. And I don't know, Eric, if the man got back on his bed. You read the text, you tell them that twice, take up your bed and walk. I don't know, because some people, you know, you get healed, you get delivered, then you go back. Like our ancestors who were freed from slavery, you know, a lot of them didn't even leave because they could not believe they were free. Baby, when God delivers you, when God frees you, you got to be running. And never look back. And you got to understand that there are some miracles coming your way. Like I told you, we're still in Mark chapter 2. We're still in Mark chapter 2. You still got time. There's still a miracle coming your way if you believe early in 2020. If you believe in what you stand in need of. Assassinated on April 4th of 1968. However, on August 28th of 1963, standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, he uttered these words: I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of created suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Then he says, go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. 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 Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this will be done. That freedom will come. He says to all those people, by plane, trains, or automobiles, who got all the way to D.C., go back home with the dream that I have instilled in you. Go back home fearless. Go back home thanking God for how far we've come, but also praising God for how far we're going. Go back home and tell somebody about the redemptive nature of our Savior. 2,000 before that, Jesus told that man same thing. Go back home because he was free at last. If you don't consider yourself free, you find yourself bound in your sins, bound in your sickness, bound sometimes in your mind, and you want to be free today, we invite you to Jesus. I know you don't have handcuffs on. I know you're not bound in your feet. No, nobody's holding you down. But there is an alternative spirit. There are demons that mess with your mind, mess with your body. They tell you you're not good enough. You're not tall enough. You're not small enough. You're not light enough. You're not bright enough. You're not smart enough. Those are tricks of the devil. Those are tricks of the devil. Prevent you from getting to your destiny. And I want you free today. I want you to have freedom today.
Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Don't be thinking someone looking at you. You don't care how or what's going on in your life. We just want you to know who we believe in. And who set us free. And who started us on this Christian walk. So we invite someone to Jesus right now. Don't deny God. I know that there are now times when we still do this here. These people now don't want to come forward. So shine about their faith. And don't want nobody looking and staring at them. The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father. That's the word of God. All of us have had to take this walk. When we come down one of these aisles, get one of these deacons your hand. God already has your heart. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, God raised you from the dead. Just those two things have granted you salvation. You just have to confess it to somebody. And we invite you right now, if you feel that right now in your spirit, to come give your life to Christ so that you might have freedom. There might be someone bound by tradition. You're bound by your home church. You're bound by your presence. You're bound by your animals. You're a free church. You want to play for you. And about your Christian experience. A saved neighbor is a saved neighbor, God.
means now is going to save neighbors. So we can have safe communities. Thank you right now, God, everyone who's come to this house, God, to worship in the spirit and in truth, God. Even as just a spiritual fight for them, God, lift them up in there. And let me downtrodden, whether they be depressed. We ask you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Bless our sister Monica. Bless our brother Kelvin as he starts a new journey. Making sure that our children have all the resources they need to live out their God-given destiny. Their jobs are extremely tough. They pull from every side, and every parent wants just something for their child. But they've got to look at the collective, God. They've got to look at the bigger picture, God. They've got to see the forest beyond each individual tree. Let them not get weary in doing good. In good season, they will reap a wonderful reward. And that is a word for all of us. That none of us get weary in doing good. Because when harvest time comes, we know, God, that we're going to reap a wonderful reward. Thank you now, and bless this day, bless this occasion, bless this afternoon. Our brother Robert. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all that believers say, amen.